So let's go to 1 John chapter 1 if we could. And again, we'll leave at 12:30 for Potatadu. If you've not come over to have a look, you should. God has done an amazing work over there in 5 years. We have a core of about 25 faithful people, local people, and they just love the Word of God. And then this month, we're starting something new once a week, or once a month for now. We're having a Sunday night service over there, and our three Bible college guys are going to be rotating through the preaching of those services. And eventually we'll probably increase it to 2 per month. We'll just see how it goes with attendance. So that's exciting to see a new service added over there. But yes, come and have a look. All you have to do is shake hands, smile, sing, and eat food afterwards. So you can't beat that, right? But we leave at 12:30. The van has 12 seats. You're welcome to come and join us. Here at the beginning of this book, 1 John, John is introducing us to the Lord Jesus Christ and who he is, but also why he came and what we are to be doing about it. So notice verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. So our title today is Declare We Unto You. Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much. We are blessed to be able to meet here. As we think about our brothers and sisters in these places, especially in Africa, literally when they decide to be Christians, they are taking their own life into their hands, knowing they could be killed for their faith, Lord. May we reflect upon that, how good we have it, and how you want us to be sacrificial for you as well. And I pray you would speak to our hearts through your powerful word this morning, that you would guide us in your truth, that you'd be glorified and pleased. Just bless the preaching of your word now. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. So we find some beautiful truths in this passage, don't we, about Jesus. We find, first of all, that the word of life, which is one of the names that he has given to Jesus Christ, has always been. Amen. And this is important for us as Christians, that we understand the person of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, if you don't understand the person of Jesus Christ, you can't be saved. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 24, if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. And John, of course, introduces the 12 I ams of Jesus Christ. If you don't believe the person of Christ, you can't be saved. The person of Christ has always been. He didn't begin at Bethlehem when he was born. He came to earth at Bethlehem, but he's always been because he is God. He is God the Son. And he says that which was from the beginning. He's telling us right up front that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of life, has always been. Notice Micah chapter 5, quickly if you would, verse 2. In the Old Testament, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Jonah, Micah. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, a prophecy about the Lord Jesus Christ, a beautiful prophecy about where he would be born. It says, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting. Jesus Christ is from everlasting. He's always been. He is God. We're told in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is Jesus, and the Word is God and always has been. In John chapter 8, if you want to turn there quickly, verse 58, Jesus Christ presenting himself, his person, and the Pharisees pushing back, talking about how they were descendants of Abraham. And Jesus made a very powerful statement here in verse 58. Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." They were making claim to Abraham, of course, as the founder of the Jewish nation. They said, "We are descendants of Abraham. That makes us official Jews." Jesus said, "Before Abraham even was, I am." He was claiming to be the I am of Exodus chapter 3. For God introduced himself to Moses at the burning bush and said, "I am that I am." They knew exactly what he said because it says in verse 59, "Then took they up stones to cast at him." They knew the claim that he was making, that he existed before Abraham, and that he was claiming to be the I am of the Old Testament, which is Jehovah. And for that reason, under Jewish law, since they didn't believe what he claimed, they were going to kill him for making a claim of being God. And then one more, Revelation chapter 1. When we're introduced to Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus Christ, again, introducing himself to us, to the world, and again claiming his deity, he says here in Revelation 1, 8, "I," and the one speaking in this chapter is Jesus, by the way, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." That's Jesus. He is Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the ending. He's always been. He is the Word of life. The Word. The Word was made flesh, we're told in John chapter 1, verse 14, "and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus Christ, the Word of life, became a man, but has always been. We're told in 1 John 5:7, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one." So of all the names that could have been put in that verse, 1 John 5:7, which by the way doesn't exist in most modern Bibles, because some of the early popes disagreed with it, so they cut it out. But what it says is, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And so there, Jesus Christ declared as part of the Trinity. They are one. They are God. He is the Word of God. And by the way, look at Revelation 19. When he returns to the earth, this is not the rapture, but this is after the tribulation period when Jesus Christ comes to the earth physically, and we come with him. Look what his name is, Revelation 19, verse 13. It says, "And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood." Jesus Christ, when he comes back to the earth the second time, he's not coming as a lowly babe in a manger. He's not coming as the one that's meek and lowly in heart. He's coming as the conquering king. And it says, "And his name is called the Word of God." The Word of God. That's Jesus. He's always been. He is the Word of God. Life. Notice back in our passage in 1 John chapter 1 in verse 2, "For the life was manifested and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life." So Jesus Christ, this name given to him here in this passage, which by the way is only in the New Testament two times, Word of life. He's the Word, which makes him God, which makes him the second part of the Trinity, but he's the Word of life. He is the one that provides life. He is the one that is life. Go to 1 John chapter 5 and verses 11 and 12, and I'll show you this. When we trust Jesus Christ as Savior and we become Christians, my friend, we're not accepting a creed, we're accepting a person. Amen? It's all about Jesus. Jesus is life. He doesn't just give life. He is life. Notice 1 John 5:11. "And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son." Look at verse 12. "He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." You either have the Son or you don't have the Son. It's not about your denomination. It's not about baptism or your church. It's about Jesus. Do you have the Word of life indwelling you? If you're in 1 John 5, still look at verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. And we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. How people can deny the deity of Christ, I don't know. It so permeates the Scriptures. But notice, talking about Jesus, the Son of God, He is the true God, and He is eternal life. He doesn't just give eternal life, He is eternal life. And what did Jesus say in John 14 in the upper room to the disciples? I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the life. And so the first thing we see in our passage this morning is that the Word of life, the Lord Jesus Christ, He's always been because He is God. And because He is life, He's always been. The second thing we see in verse 2 is that this Word of life, the Lord Jesus Christ, has been manifested to the world. He's always been, but not until He came to earth to be born of a virgin as a human being and then went to Calvary and rose again from the dead was He literally manifested to the world. And that's what it says there, verse 2. Which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Of course, John is writing this. He was one of the 12. And he says, I'm not just a prophet. I'm not just with God's inspiration writing the Word of God. I was actually there. I traveled with Christ. I saw Christ. I interacted with Christ. I saw it all with my own eyes. But He was manifested to the world. And 2,000 years later, what's the best-selling book in the world? The Word of God. Isn't that amazing? It isn't, because it's God, but it's beautiful that He still, through you and me, through Christians down through the ages, being manifested to the world. And that is one of our missions. Look at 1 Timothy 3:16. Beautiful verse on the deity of Christ. Not necessarily in the modern Bibles. Throw that in there. But in God's Word, the King James, notice what it says. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. The modern Bibles, you know what they say? He who was manifest. They take the word God out. It's kind of an important word, wouldn't you say? God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seed of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world. There's the manifestation. Believed on in the world and received up through His ascension into glory. God was manifest in the flesh, preached unto the Gentiles, and believed on in the world. This Word of life, the Lord Jesus Christ, the second thing we see in this passage is He's been manifested to the whole world. Let's look at 1 John 3, verse 5, and we'll see it again. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 5. It says, and we know that He was manifested to take away our sins. And in Him is no sin. And then 1 John 4, 9. Turn over there if you would. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Jesus, the Word of life, was manifested. And what this tells us, 1 John 4, 9, is simultaneously the love of God was manifested. That anyone who questions or doubts the Word of God, they just have to look at Calvary. Amen? That's the love of the manifestation of the love of God to this world. God so loved the world that He what? He gave His only begotten Son. So Calvary is the ultimate and most beautiful manifestation of the love of God for this world. that he would give his only begotten Son. Jesus Christ has been manifested to the world at Calvary, and then his resurrection, his ascension. John says, I was there. I watched it all. I was in that room afterward when he showed up through the walls and showed us the prints of the nails in his hand. I was there when Thomas fell down and said, my Lord and my God. I was there when he spent 40 days teaching us after his resurrection. I was there when we watched him ascend back into heaven. He says, I was even there when on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down and indwelt us. And we were able to speak other languages to all the multitudes that were there so that they could hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. The word of life, Jesus, he's always been because he's Jehovah, and he has been manifested to the entire world. Well, what does that mean for you and me? Verse 3 of 1 John 1. Our third point this morning is that this word of life, the Lord Jesus Christ, needs to be declared to others. And God chose to do that through Christians. He could have done it through angels. He could have dropped leaflets out of the sky. But he chose to use us. Notice verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. That's our title this morning. Declare we unto you that this word of life, the Lord Jesus Christ, Jehovah in the flesh, who's always been, has been manifested to the world through Calvary. But 2,000 years later, the majority of the world doesn't know about him. It's our mission. It's our calling. It's our duty. It's our responsibility to declare him, the word of life, to the world, to tell people that this word of life has come for them. He's died for them. He rose again for them. If they will but receive him, he that hath the Son hath life, then they can also be part of our fellowship, which we'll talk about in a moment. But let's go to Philippians 2, if we could, verse 14. And just be reminded, this is our mission, is to declare the person of Christ, the gospel, to the world. That man is a sinner and deserves hell, but God became a man, paid the price for our sins, and rose again to show he had power over death, and offers through that the gift of eternal life. Philippians 2:14, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Look at this next verse, the only other occurrence of the phrase word of life, holding forth the word of life. There's our mission. Now we read that and we often think, oh, that means holding forth the Bible. Well, that's partially true. It's actually holding forth the Savior. Amen? Through the gospel. Say, well, what's the difference? Well, actually, they're the same thing. Because he is the Word and the Word is him. Amen? This is Jesus in written form. That's his name, the Word of God. We just saw that in Revelation 19. So our mission is to declare him, to hold him forth, to show him to the world and say, God loves you. God loves you so much. Your Creator loves you so much that he was willing to pay the price for your sins. But you must accept it. Now Romans 10 says, how shall they preach except they be sent? Well, we've been sent. Amen. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring good tidings of great things. That's us. And so three things, beautiful things we've seen in this passage. The word of life, Jesus, he's always been because he's Jehovah. And he's been manifested in the world at Calvary, but it's our mission to declare him. To tell the good news of what God has done for us. So what does that mean? Verse 3, moving on, it says, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. If When we do hold forth the word of life, when we do share the good news of the gospel, people hear it and believe it and trust Jesus Christ and receive him as their personal savior. They have received eternal life. But you know what? Now they are in direct fellowship, as it says there, with who? The Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. Well, that's beautiful, isn't it? Look at John chapter 14, verse 23. In other words, the day you got saved, if you're born again, you entered into fellowship with your own Creator. Think about that. The Almighty, Omnipotent, Omnipresent, Omniscient God, you entered into fellowship with Him, which has been lost since the Garden of Eden, but has been restored through the blood of Jesus Christ. John 14, 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." And so the day that you're born again, God moves in. Amen? In the person of the Holy Ghost. That's why the Bible says you are the temple of the living God. We now have fellowship with the Father and with the Son through the person of the Holy Ghost. Look at it again in John 17, verse 21. John 17, verse 21, that they all may be one. Jesus here is praying for his disciples, but also his future disciples, which is us. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. That they may be one in us. That's us. We being many are one body in Christ. For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body. We become one with God. We become indwelt by God. And we now have fellowship with God, if we will trust Jesus Christ as Savior. And with that fellowship, with that presence of God, comes, verse 4, joy. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Could there anything be more joyous than knowing that your sins are forgiven, you've been rescued from hell, your own Creator has now moved in and has promised you a home in heaven? How can we not have joy? Paul said, "Rejoice in the Lord always," and again I say rejoice. But wait a minute, we're going to have trials. So, Jesus told us we'd have trials, but that shouldn't steal away our joy, because our joy doesn't come from circumstances, does it? It comes from God who lives in us. So the joy is there. That's what it says. I'm writing these things unto you, those of you who will believe on the person of the Word of Life, Jesus Christ, those of you that will receive Him, you'll have fellowship with God the Father, God the Son, and even with us, because we're all one. And now you can have fullness of joy. That's what he's saying. Look at John 15, 11. Jesus said the same thing in the upper room to the disciples. John 15, 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. He's talking to the disciples. He's already told them he's about to be killed. He says, "Guys, I'm going to die. You're going to have a rough patch, but your joy is going to be full." Look over in chapter 16, verse 24. "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." He just kept saying it to the disciples. Your joy is going to be full. Why? Because your joy isn't based on your circumstances, or shouldn't be. It should be based on your position in Jesus Christ, which never changes. Hallelujah. The word of life, Jehovah, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, has come to earth and has been manifested at Calvary. The love of God was manifested that day. And your mission and my mission and every Christian's mission is to what? Declare Him. To tell the world about the word of life, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that what? they may join with us in having fellowship with the Father, fellowship with the Son, fellowship with one another, because we are one in Christ. We are one body. But you got to receive Christ, and if you do, not only will you receive that fellowship, but you receive the Holy Spirit, who the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. All that comes from God, who indwells us when we get saved. So this word of life, our mission is to declare Him. It's pretty simple, isn't it? It's the way it's worked for 2,000 years, and it's worked quite well. If I was to ask everyone here, how did you get saved? I can guarantee you a human was involved in one way or another. Maybe a human wrote a tract that you read. Maybe you went to a church service. Maybe it was a workmate or family who told you about Christ. But a human was involved, guaranteed, in one way or another. Because that was God's plan. And Jesus, the last thing He said before He left this earth to His disciples, they said, Lord, what about the kingdom? We want the kingdom. Give us the kingdom. We've been waiting for hundreds of years for the kingdom. Jesus says, no, it's not about the kingdom, guys. You shall receive power. Very soon the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. And what? Ye shall be witnesses. Last thing He said. Then He went to heaven. That was their mission. And that's our mission, that we will declare Him to the world, the word of life, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we love You. We thank You for this beautiful passage, this beautiful reminder about our wonderful Savior, the word of life, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You for saving us. Thank You for indwelling us. Thank You for the joy that comes from knowing that we are sons of God, that we are on our way to heaven, and that we have You and You will never leave us nor forsake us. Thank You. And Lord, may we take our mission seriously, especially as we hear about folks literally dying for the cause of Christ. Can we not at least step out of our comfort zone and tell others about our wonderful Savior that died for them? I pray for Your will in our hearts. And Lord, if there's someone in this service that is not sure yet that they're born again, that they have received the person of Christ, I pray today will be that day for them, that they would realize they need Jesus to ever see heaven, and that they would accept Him. Thy will be done in our hearts. Thank You for Your goodness.